Hey, Brooks, good morning.
Hello.
While folks are filtering in, I am looking for a note-taking volunteer. I forgot to line one up for today. We do have our AI notes on, but just have a human presence there. Human in the loop. Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
Hello there.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Okay, as folks are filtering in, I am looking for a volunteer to help out with notes today. We do have our AI summary turned on, but we need a human in the loop. So, if anyone wants to jump in, great. If not, I'm also happy to take notes as we're chatting.
Hey, Caitlin, because I know we have our note taker group. I'm sorry, I don't know who's on that. I can take notes this time, but maybe
Yeah, that would be great.
someone
We
else can do it next time.
reached the end of our rotation. I just need to set it up again. So that'd be great. Thank you. Thanks for volunteering. All right, and the link to the agenda is in the notes there. Let's see. So we covered note taker. I want to apologize for getting the agenda out so late this week. Sorry about that. We are going to bring back the Tuesday agenda planning meeting. We went on a hiatus for August. The people had conflicts, wanted to try it out. I think we've come to the conclusion that we need to bring that back, especially in this period leading up to WolfCon, where we have kind of a lot to wade through. So for those of you who aren't familiar, the link is here in the chat. It has the Zoom information and the timing. It's also available on the PC Google Calendar. I think, you know what? I don't think this has the ICS on it, but I can add that if anyone would like it on their home calendar. I always kind of need that. Thank you, Jennifer. Next thing we wanted to cover is
Sorry,
the training.
can I ask something just before we move on? So, the way it used to work, although it kind of I don't know, the way it used to work was that the co-chairs and the liaison from the community council and from the technical council would come to that meeting. I don't think we have new liaisons from the TC and from the CC yet. So that's and whether or not we want to continue to ask them to come, we may or we may not, but we still do, I think, do need those liaisons.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I
What
see
is the
Christy saying she's the liaison from technical council and I'm the liaison from community council.
Okay, fabulous.
perfect.
I can update that page.
Oh, that
And
would
if
love
you
that.
want to come, if you want, I'll come to the, and then obviously other people from the PC often come to the Tuesday meeting. But those are the four people that were sort of like supposed to be the core. And again, I don't know whether or not that's something we can or should continue to do, but I just wanted to put that reminder up. But I will update that page.
I appreciate that, Alexis. Thank you so much. All right. There was also some chatter on the line about the Trillium delay, which I think there it is here in Confluence. I think it's not been widely announced. Wanted to make sure people are aware of it, and I also allowed a little extra time here in case people wanted to talk about it.
I have some mixed feelings about it, just because, if you rewind the clock back to the spring, this was the ask initially, was for an extension of Ramsin support via different mechanisms, and one of the mechanisms being asked for was a delay of Trillium, and that was not received enthusiastically at the time. And a lot of energy has been expended since that time until now, trying to figure out what to do about the transition to Eureka, and the timing for all that. This is really just maybe sour grapes. It really doesn't do anything for anyone. But my feelings are kind of like, man, I really wish this was a decision that could have been made back in spring. It would have given people more time to kind of plan around it, But at the same time, at Texas A&M, this does put us in the situation that we want to be in, at least, in that we feel like we have the extra runway that we need to get onto Eureka. But at the same time, for people who were really counting on Trillium to drop when, it was supposed to, I can certainly understand the frustration of seeing that deadline pushed back. So those are kind of my two minds on the topic right now.
Thanks, Jeremy. Charlotte?
And then I can maybe speak on behalf of National Lab of Sweden because they are going live using Trillium and all the development work we are doing on the new functionality on how to handle reading room loans for them. So what we call for use at location. I know last week there was a lot of conversations and I was on vacation, but this week we also had several conversations. But right now, the solution for National Lab of Sweden will then be that we will include their new work, which they need for go live, into a Sunflower critical service patch. And we got the green light yesterday from Oleksiy Petrenko that that was a way to do it. And it's not the first time you can say Sunflower critical service patch number one had 52 stories included and 48 bugs. So even that critical service patches are only intended to be for P1 bugs, it is used more widely. So right now we are discussing a little if we is to do all the load of all the new finished developed work in one critical service patch or to spread it into, but I'll discuss with Oleksiy Petrenko about what he, how he feel would be best.
Okay, great.
Also to jump back to Jeremy, I'd say it's poor planning. One sprint before feature freeze and all the development teams have been pushed and remember to do this, and have you done that? And there's so much stress to get up to the finish line. And then in the planning, one sprint before, all right, guys, we will move it 3, 4, 5 months ahead. So I'm just surprised, but maybe I don't know the full story here.
And they're pushing the whole thing back, including like the feature freeze and everything, the whole
Yeah,
thing's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
okay. All right.
And just so I understand too, I mean, this brought up questions for me about like how communication and input typically happens for changes to the release schedule. I know that Jennifer is our liaison to the release management group. Did they meet this week because of Labor Day?
They did not meet, sorry, they did not meet this week. And so the last time I heard about it and was that there it was being proposed and Alesky was going to talk to Charlotte. So that's kind of the last information I had. And unfortunately, you know, I was out last week as well, so I kind of missed a lot of the discussion that developed. So yeah.
Clearly, August is a tricky time. I think across the board is what we've learned.
But
Charlotte? Oh, sorry.
the process for when changes, and we have had it before, then it is the release management stakeholder group have a proposal. And then Oleksii has also come to previously attended one of our meetings and explaining the new roadmap, explaining why it was necessary, and have had a conversation with the PC until and not until the PC was heard and we were informed it was kind of ending up to be a decision. Right now, the release tag in Folio Jira is set Trillium and then parentheses to be decided.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on the Trillium delay before we move on?
Yeah, I'm just wondering because it seems as though that last step of Alesky coming to PC didn't really happen this time. And it maybe it seems to me to be a little bit rushed, but maybe we should reach out to Alesky and just say, well, you know, we know it's already I guess the decision's been made, but maybe coming to PC anyway might be helpful.
Official, the decision has not been made yet.
Okay. So maybe seeing if he's available to talk to us next week.
I'd like to just kind of echo that, this idea that the relationship between the product council or Folio governance in general and release management has been called into question in the last year multiple times. I think that at the very least, it's fair to say that there are differing opinions across the community as far as what the nature of that relationship is. And that sort of ambiguity is not healthy for our community. And I do think it would be useful at some point in time to prioritize getting rid of that ambiguity and just figuring out exactly what the nature of the relationship is between release management and Folio governance.
I think that's a great proposal, Jeremy. And that, I guess that's kind of what came up for me. I was like, wait, well, how is this supposed to work? Also, Charlotte, you mentioned that you rely on the release, or sorry, on the agenda planning meeting to get critical information about what's going on with releases. And that sounds like an important reason for us to bring that meeting back. But it also made me think, what are the proper communication channels to make sure that everyone's getting the information they need? Because this feels like it's not it. Jeremy, can I ask you to help out with like that clarification just so that someone has the ball if you can.
Yeah, I'll need to think a little bit about what the appropriate course of action is. I mean, a document review, you know, seems like it would be good just to look at what our documentation says about what it should be. I mean, maybe we could reach out to like the players involved and just have them express what their perception is of how it works. And yeah, I'll do that, and I'll just ask for some time on the agenda once I have some. I'll do some research and then talk to you all about it.
That sounds great. I think we've got a lot of changes coming up, and this might like they might impact as we're kind of starting to think through like the PC's role as it pertains to some of the proposals floating around. That might make our connection to release management more important, or just like change the perspective through which we're understanding how what we need there. So having you run point on that will be great. So for today's meeting, we have I've cleared a couple of our standing agenda items to make room for three important things. I believe we've got Jennifer, are you presenting for data import?
That is a good question. I'm sorry, I didn't have time to coordinate with my co-convener Christy. It's either Christy's here as well.
Great.
Christy, did you want to present, or
I'm
did you?
happy for you to take the lead, but I can step in if I need to.
All
I knew
righty.
I shouldn't have used the word present. Like, I mean, just talking through the priorities so that people understand what they are is really helpful.
Sure. So I put the link in chat. And would do people want me to also share my screen just to share the community dashboard, which I will do.
I would like that.
Here we go. Get rid of some Zoom controls that are in the way always. So hopefully you can see this is the PC community dashboard. Is everyone seeing that?
Yes. Yes, thank
Excellent.
you.
All right. So, and if you need me to, maybe I'll just, that's a little better. Yeah. Sorry. You work with Folio and I keep like minimizing it because, it's just there's so many things to fill out in Folio records. Christy.
You know what? I was actually just going to suggest that we take 30 seconds and talk about our process, just to
Sure.
provide some context for these priorities. Because we do have, a very large pool of priorities in data import, that it was really hard to just pick five.
Since we met, since the we learned about the PC prioritization, data import has really worked hard to kind of discuss what our process is in terms of how do we contribute to kind of the development and enhancement of, the data import app, but also features and functionality around importing records into Folio. So with that, we're still working on it, but we've created two new dashboards, and we're using labels on Jira issues. The first label is data input. Yes, apparently everything's input. A data import SIG review reviewed. So an issue that has been reviewed by the SIG gets that label. If it has to be reviewed, then it's data import SIG needs review. So this allows us to have two dashboards, a list of what's been reviewed and what hasn't. So that because that this is one of the pathways of getting features and bugs to be discussed in the SIG. We also have our implementers topic tracker, which we're kind of working with. So the process that we discussed is like, how do these various pathways how do people contribute through this various pathways? So we're still coming up with that. And as Christy noticed, for these five priorities, we sent out a survey rather than relying on Jira, the Jira vote feature in Jira. And it was difficult. As you'll see, these priorities are really bug fixes rather than enhancements. And we, the reason we're doing all of this kind of reworking, like what is our process, which we'll define, eventually on a wiki page, is we really want to be able to say, this is our MVT for data import. What does this mean for the community? Because we want to make sure that, especially as we move on to other formats, we want to make sure that we are meeting all the functional requirements of the MVP for the community. And we don't feel that we're there yet. So a lot of our priorities is or it's fixing bugs. So like update instance administrative data only. Some of this seems straightforward and it's really not. You notice that this is still open. We haven't been able to do this since the beginning. We can't, if we have changes are priority two, if we have changes that we need to make at the instance level as well as the SRS level, because of this strange, well, it's not strange. I mean, the instance and the MARC SRS are kind of married, but only to a point. And that point is, administrative data in the instance. Then you have to have two jo separate jobs that, essentially you're sort of working on the same data. Allow for MARC field protection at the import profile level. Right now, it's very much at the job level. Right, yeah. And then reporting, yes, we too would like more reporting. We feel like the de decentralized reporting kind of approach to how it's handled in Folio is not quite working. So we have asked for a lot of reports, which, as you can tell, this is just a draft. We have a lot of tech debt, so that's not going to come soon, unfortunately. Jobs run immediately after canceled jobs take a long time. Basically, they just finish running and you have to fix everything. This is in progress, but I think it's scheduled for maybe Trillium. And we've had this ticket for maybe 3 years. So I think data import still needs help. It would be great to have one development team working solely on data import. Right now it is split between import and inventory. But I see, Christy, you wanted to add something.
Only if you're done.
Sure, go ahead. I think I'm done.
Yeah, I think that you did a really great job, contextualizing where we are and how we are trying to pivot as a SIG to improve and streamline how we contribute to the development of, as a SIG, to the development of data import and to provide pathways for institutions that are live that have real struggles with data import in their institutions to get into that pipeline. Looking back at, the top five priorities for data import, I just want to illustrate that, and this just struck me, that this is functionality that was assumed at the beginning and that was in our vision when we did our UI vision for data import. I've been involved in the data import community since the beginning. I think it started in like 2017 or 2018. And this is functionality that is now, I mean, is it a feature? Is it a bug? I don't know. But we're not able to do these things that we originally were in scope for data import because of how data import was implemented. And those first two issues are problematic because of, the architecture of data import. And that might be a big challenge for us to figure out how to work around that. The way data import has been implemented, you cannot update or create a Folio instance without having an SRS MARC record attached to it. And that was never the intention of that. Also, the way that it was implemented, when you update, you have to choose to update the instance or you have to choose to update the SRS MARC. You cannot choose to update the instance record and the MARC record. And each of those field mapping profiles have unique data points in them. So you have a job. We all have jobs where we need to update the instance and update the SRS, and we can't do that. And it boils down to how data import was implemented. Yeah, so I don't know where to go with that. But we're still having these struggles and we're kind of stuck on those types of issues.
And that's a great point, Christy. I think it's because some of what was assumed to be working really wasn't working or still isn't working. We're kind of, we're kind of working with a lot of thin threads in our development, and we're dealing with that, and then additional functionality that we need to take care of. For example, the linked data piece. Which is already here, and data import is kind of like, yeah, but the mark orders that we just finished was a thin thread and it's not quite working yet. And people need that right away too. So I think in terms of seeking help from the PC is that, how do we handle this? Because I think we know that data imports still, I mean, we've done a lot of work, but there still needs a lot of work to be done. And Kristen, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing this, and I am curious about your comment on trying to create a community MVP. And I'm wondering if you have more documentation on that, and how much even getting these five priorities would help with that. Because I feel like that's a great way of framing some of these issues. Because there, I mean, on the face of it, there should already be an MVP for data import, but clearly there's not. So what is it that, how could we help like market this as like we need to have a community MVP?
I will jump in and provide my answer and then give you an opportunity to answer, Jennifer, because we have this as a to-do for our community. I do think that we had an MVP when we started, back in like 2018, and we had a series. We brought in the UI designer, and established what we needed data import to do for us. I think that we're so focused right now on putting out fires that what is in Jira should represent the MVP, but it doesn't, because there are just things that have never gotten into Jira, because we've just never had the time to work on them. And we also didn't want to distract from, the development that we need so that we can do our work today. We've discussed, establishing a process to go back and document and understand what the community thinks that MVP is, but I don't think that we have one right now. I think that as individuals and as institutions, we may have, visions, but that's not a community vision. And I would like to see us undertake that, in the coming months.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Christy. I think, we've been kind of scrambling, to get data import, on track. And also, just to, I think, kind of find these wayward issues that have been, since 2018, just kind of sitting there and make sure we're looking at them, discussing them, and all of that. I think looking at our new process, and once we formalize that, I think from there it will, I mean, not that it will be an easy route, but I think we'll be able to kind of have that discussion as a group of, what does our MVP look like? And what is our roadmap, or what, a high level roadmap to that MVP. So that's the hope, I think, in the end.
I also want to put it, just point out that we're actually a relatively new SIG. For, the life of Folio up until very recently, we were just a working group of metadata management. And when we had these prioritization activities before, data import priorities were prioritized alongside metadata management priorities and very rarely bubbled to the surface. So we are taking this time to rethink about how we accomplish this work.
This is really helpful. And I'm gonna pop in the chat a draft rubric for prioritization, Lisa, that I'm gonna go ahead and share that we were planning to review at a future meeting, but we came up with this list early on as some of the criteria that we might evaluate features on. And Lisa did an excellent job building out some definitions. But just as we're thinking about these priorities in contrast to like what we heard from, for instance, the discovery SIG, it seems like the usability and the competitiveness criteria that I think some folks had suggested really come into play here. So it just makes like an interesting test for those draft criteria.
Caitlin, I know you don't mind if I say my hand is up because I'm not sure that you're looking.
Oh
So
yeah, I really
just when you get a
appreciate it.
chance, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please jump in.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I didn't know how else. Yeah, I just wanted to say as Christy and Jennifer were talking, first of all, I know they don't really want this to distract, but I'm just so impressed with how much they've stuck with this for so many years. I got so frustrated, honestly, and I just backed off. So their staying power is just amazing and commendable. And also I want to say, they were talking and then Lucy chimed in with data import has been a big sticking point. It brings to mind the idea, and I don't know if I put this, but as a PC council, as we're thinking about these things, I think it's important to think, like, what would stop us from recommending Folio to somebody else? And I have to say data import is one of them that if I know schools are trying, I don't say it out loud because I really wouldn't want to hurt the project, and not that I personally could, but in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, how are they going to deal with data import? So I don't know if that's one of the criteria I wrote on that list, but maybe that's somehow we could think about that as we think about as a PC council, the things that we're prioritizing. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks for your time.
That's great, Lisa. Those are very, very good points. Okay, so it sounds like we need to come back to this. I mean, this is definitely the beginning of a conversation. I did have one question, which I wonder, as a near-term way to alleviate pressure, would it be helpful for institutions that are doing more import via API to share information about how they're doing that, or is that a completely different use case? Does that ameliorate the situation at all, or is that
I don't think it does. I mean, so I know, and Christy, I kind of jumped in before you, and then I'll pass it to you. I think from what I've seen, like the first answer, like that thin thread, is to do everything by API. And I can say, at least for my situation here, and I've heard it from other people, is like we do not work with the API. We really need this UI version for it. And I think that's one of the selling points of, some of these other, LMSs that we're dealing with, is they have the UI version, and especially like in my case, I'm not a systems librarian. I am not supposed to be fussing with those APIs because other things are running. I could do something that, I'm not aware of, and we're a consortium in a single tenant. So I do think we need to focus on the UI. And the API are great. We still need to do that as well. I don't think that is a solution. And I wanted to respond to Owen's. It's been the same project team, and I want to do a shout out to our PO Ryan Taylor, who is fantastic. And I think with Christy and the SIG, we have really made some good inroads. And we're making progress. We're a new SIG, we're going is, you know, we don't want to go too fast, but we are making a lot of changes. We're asking a lot of our SMEs in our community, and I have to say they are stepping up. I think what would help is we need like a really we need a team to be working on data import only. Right now it's split. They're working on inventory and they're working on data import. And granted, there is a lot in, you know, inventory that's related to data import. Christy.
No, I agree with everything that you said. I think that from a development standpoint, we really need to focus on the UI because the majority of the users are just not going to have the staff or the skills to build infrastructure around using data import via the APIs. That said, I think that it would be useful to have a session for people to share how they are using the APIs because one that can inform like what we need the UI to do for us that it's not doing now. But also, it could be helpful, to some institutions. So I just want to clarify that I don't think that development should offer using the APIs as the primary or even a thin thread implementation path at this point. I think we're way beyond that, but I do think it's useful to share knowledge and skills in that area.
Okay, great. Yeah, thinking to I think it was Charlotte's original comment about timeline. You know, this what's absent in this dashboard is any commitment to a timeline, and we know that with whatever's going on with the release cadence, it could be a long time before some of these things actually move. But by surfacing these needs, we hope to be able to focus resources on the highest priority needs in the community, kind of facilitate that. Okay. I think this is this a good stopping point for data import for now? I have a note here. Okay.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Thank you, PC, for listening to us. And of course, you know, reach out to Christy or myself or attend a DI SIG meeting. We're a fun group. There you go.
Thank you so much, Christy and Jennifer. And I know it's not easy to just talk about the stuff on the fly, but clearly you've put a lot of thought into it. So I have a note that we need to follow up with you about a community MVP and just, you know, like see how we can support you there. And also to follow up around information sharing about data import via API. Okay. So moving on to our next SIG. I believe we've got folks from ERM here today to talk through their priorities.
We're here.
Okay, excellent.
And
Good
I
to see
would,
you.
hi, and nice for having us. We will start, as did Jennifer and Christy, with some explanation how we build our top five priorities. And then the POs will talk about the individual tickets that are prioritized on the community dashboard. I will start and share my screen. And we needed to find a way, as maybe many other SIGs as well, because ERAM is a functional area that consists of multiple apps and where different development teams are responsible for. And that's why we agreed on a specific way to add priorities from the different groups that are meeting and raising implementers topics. And we are working, as many other SIGs as well, with an implementers page where everyone in the community can add wishes and requirements. And you're looking at two screenshots. The top one is the table where people can add their new topics with a brief explanation, like whether it's, for instance, which app it is for, because that is important. Then it will be discussed in one or the other group. And the below table is the one where we put everything in that has been discussed in one of the SIGs. Then we will link the meeting minutes. And the JIRA ticket. So everything that has been discussed in our groups will be added to JIRA with a specific label so that everyone can find the relevant tickets. And that's, in our case, UM SIG topics. And that is the label, no matter from which subgroup this has been raised, it's always UM SIG topics. We have created a dashboard from everything that has the label UMSIG topics, this dashboard that's for voting, and that the sort order is by votes. And as you can see, the number one ticket has 6 votes, so that's not too many, I think, too many people that have taken part, maybe not too many votes. And you can see on this dashboard the label UMSIG topics. And then the labels for the apps this is for. So if, for instance, agreements, there is an eHoldings label for things that apply to the eHoldings group or the eHoldings app, local KB and eUsage. And then the different development teams, Bienenvolks, Bitfire or Leipzig. And from this list, we then create our top 5 priorities on the community priorities dashboard. But we wanted to take care that there is one priority from each of the groups. So there is the priority one, that's a priority raised by the EUREMSIG and the dev team Bienenvolk is responsible. Another priority is from the eHolding subgroup, usually dev team Spitfire. Priority 3 is eUsage subgroup, the dev team Leipzig. And priority 4 is the agreements local KB subgroup, dev team Bienenvolk again. So we have one main SIG and 3 subgroups. And this is not really priority 1 to 4, but it's really priority 1 for the individual groups. And then the 5th priority, sorry, difficult word for me, is a joint priority across all groups. That's just the next ticket in the list. So it always depends which one is then the 5th highest voted for. And I will add these 4 slides to the meeting minutes. These are just the links to the different implementers pages and the dashboards and so on and so forth. And I will now stop sharing so that the POs can talk about the individual priorities. And I think Owen, you will start, right? Because it's EUREMSIG, first one.
Sorry, I was relying on your slide and
sorry, let me bring that up again. Sorry. Just a sec. There we go.
Thanks. So yeah, the ability to copy or transfer an agreement line is a So agreement lines represent a resource or set of resources within an e-resource agreement or contract or license or however we term it. And it's never been possible to copy those. And so in situations where you have a lot of information on the agreement line that is that you want to use in multiple places, you end up having to just re-enter that multiple times. So this is both a time-saving thing, but also it opens up the possibility of us supporting some workflows as well. So it opens up the possibility, for instance, of taking an existing agreement line for, say, an active resource, and at the point when that becomes a cancelled resource but perhaps with some post-cancellation access granted, that you could for example close off the current agreement line as now being cancelled as part of the agreement cancellation, but copy the information to an ongoing representation of post-cancellation access, so that you could have an agreement that represents that post-cancellation access as well as
the cancelled original access. So this ability to do a copy or a transfer of an agreement line between agreements is both kind of serves an immediate need that sometimes people just want to do that as part of their daily work, but also I think opens up the possibility of us delivering new functionality, which makes use of that ability to copy or transfer the line as part of a workflow process. So I think this is a really good priority. And I'll come back to this when I talk about the one of the other priorities as well, where it's going to deliver multiple things, I think, or at least open the possibility of delivering those multiple things through one piece of work.
And Zarian, do you want your own screen, or do you want me to keep on sharing?
No, I can probably use yours. Okay, so I am the PO or convener of the e-holding subgroup. So normally this is a Spitfire development team, but for this particular priority that we have that our group voted on, it's actually going to be Vienna and Volk working on it, because it's kind of a cross-app functionality situation. So within eHoldings, the eHoldings app, you can, part of the functionality is you can use eHoldings packages or title records to function as agreement lines on agreements. Currently, the way that you select them is kind of onerous for the end user. So this is kind of this development would be a UI and kind of workflow improvement, where instead of clicking one package at a time, like going all the way through the boxes and then coming back out and going back in one for each one, this would allow the selection of multiple. And this is a pretty common occurrence for, especially if you have agreements that are not one-to-one with eHoldings packages. For instance, if you have an agreement for all of your like ProQuest databases, in reality, in eHoldings, that's going to be, you know, any number of packages you want to link to that one agreement. So this would give the functionality to do that kind of all at once, or at least not one at a time. So it is definitely a kind of at the intersection of it's within the eHoldings app, but the functionality to do this, I think, ultimately lies in the agreement lines side of the house. So and I don't know if you had anything to add to that. You don't feel pressured to. That's just what I see from the eHoldings side for that one.
No, I think that's fair, Zorian. I mean, I think that it just emphasizes how, because these are a set of interrelated apps, both in terms of delivering the functionality, the ERM functionality for Folio, but also in terms of how they work together, then these lines are not always it's not necessarily always clear, especially when an issue is first raised, where the development might need to be. So when users first express the requirement, somebody might come to Zorian and say, you know, it would be great if we could add more than one resource. But until you actually discuss the detail of what that's going to look like in the UI and where it needs to sit and how it needs to work for the user, you're not going to know like what work needs to happen and where that work will need to take place. And it could be that's all in one team, or it could be that actually there needs to be coordinated work between multiple teams to deliver functionality. So especially in the cases of work between eHoldings and agreements and between the eUsage, which Stefan will talk about, and agreements.
Okay, Stefan, okay with the view, or do you need the screen?
It's okay that we use this screen here. So yeah, hi everyone. I'm the product owner of the eUsage app, and the eUsage app is more a separate application, but the data is also being used in the agreements app, and so it's the right context here to merge this in one line. So, and Yeah, let me explain more about this issue here and number three priority. Yeah, the thing is that the usage app is already in use at several institutions. This also means that the things that need to be improved are now becoming clearer, and this could not be seen with test data. So, and so that means we are currently working on a roadmap in the ERM subgroup e-usage to determine which features need to be improved and what may still be missing in order to make things better. So one point is the improvement of the handling of counter API exceptions. You have to know the usage app communicates with external servers to harvest data. So this can lead to various exceptions being returned by the servers. And these exceptions are now mainly apparent in the productive use of the app. And that is why it has become our top priority in this dashboard here. So we have other features still need to be discussed in the subgroup, but at the moment it's just ideas. So, and it should be noted that the subgroup has only just been formed. So, and we need all the new ideas discussing in the subgroup, and maybe later we can add this here in the dashboard.
Thank you, Stefan. So it's up to you again, Owen, agreements local KB subgroup.
Yeah, and I'll actually talk about the last two priorities here. Before I talk about the detail, I would say that I think these two exemplify situations where Martina's described the process that we use, but in fact, the priorities we've suggested here are not strictly following that process. And I'll say why. In the first case, the ability to delete packages from the local knowledge base. So for those of you not familiar with the ERM apps, there are a couple of different ways of configuring it, but essentially the agreements described in the agreements app are meant to group together resources that are licensed by the institution. And the descriptions of those resources can either live in the, well, there are a couple of options. One is that they could be managed via the eHoldings app, which essentially then is backing on to the EBSCO knowledge base or HLM system. So for people using who's use EBSCO services and use that particular service, then obviously they want to manage that through eHoldings. And that integration between eHoldings and agreements we mentioned earlier. For others, there's the option of having data loaded into Folio in what's called the local knowledge base, and you can load from multiple sources. But the vast majority of cases, people are institutions who are using another OLF project, the Global Open Knowledge Base or GoKB, to populate data into the local knowledge base. And the synchronization between the knowledge base, the global knowledge base and the local knowledge base are is a complex process. And previously we've kind of let the external service, in this case GoKB, dictate exactly what happens in the local knowledge base. And that hasn't been a good way of the users kind of dealing with managing that local data, or at least not some aspects of it. And so this priority is to support the deletion of packages, or at least package content from the local knowledge base, because the because we're making a wide range of changes to how that synchronization works. And one of the things that we'll be
helpful is actually to not store data that you don't need. And so this ability to delete the content of packages, along with some other changes that we're also working on, will allow users to delete data they don't need from their local Folio system. In terms of voting, there actually was very little voting across the SIG on things that were about the local knowledge base, despite the fact we know, because we have monthly meetings, that there are a lot of people who use the local knowledge base and are very invested in it working well. And so I think that the only ones from the local knowledge base kind of subset of issues that got voted on, that the maximum that any one topic had was one vote, which is not, I feel it's difficult to interpret that in a meaningful way. Like, one site wants it. It doesn't really tell us about priority at that point. And so this is actually a something we're currently working on. It's something that users have raised to us in the past as being important to them, and it is, and it seems to us to be an important priority. So here we've kind of sidestepped the process, or said the process hasn't actually highlighted a priority here, but we do believe that this to be a priority for users from our discussions with them previously, and it is work that we're currently doing. Obviously, that will mean once it's delivered, and it would have been delivered in Trillium, it will be delivered in Trillium. So it will come off the priority list, I guess, relatively quickly, and hopefully be replaced by something else. But yeah, so, and in the case of number five, Martina said we just took the next one. Well, it's not quite true. We discussed this with the group, and the next one down, I can't remember exactly what it was, but when we looked at the voting, when we discussed the top voted items in the ERM SIG, it was pointed out that there were a number of lower voted priorities that only just lower voted. So, you know, we're talking about the difference between, say, four votes and three votes here. And when we discussed them, it seemed to me that actually, while some of these priorities can be quite specific, so there's an example here of which I think is relevant, which is to improve support for recording perpetual access resources. So that's UX prod 5326, which I think got four votes. That would deliver a very specific type of functionality. In fact, we've discussed that particular feature quite extensively in the past and for quite a long time, and it's never really reached the top of the list of developments and never got done. If we look at UX prod 5348, which is the one we've put forward as the priority, what we call supplementary properties in agreements is essentially custom fields. And so that would allow institutions to add their own properties or fields to agreement lines. And that would mean, for instance, you could add a perpetual access field or property to the agreement line and record the information there. And there's a number of ones here that actually could be supported by supplementary properties. Now, I would say usually I'm not in favor of doing more general solutions when the problem is specific. I think it's better to deliver to specific requirements. But I think also when we look at like using resource development resource effectively, if we were to do UX prod 5348, then I think for a lot of people it would probably resolve problems for at least two other or potentially three other priority features that have been voted on. So that's why that one has become the fifth priority here, because I believe it would actually, at least to some extent, deliver for both itself and also potentially three other items in this list, making it seem like a more sensible priority to deliver on in terms of just best use of the development resource.
Thank you so much for this thoughtful overview. And it's a really interesting, I mean, in contrast to the data import SIG, which is new and is trying to get to MVP, what I'm hearing here is a story of one of our most mature parts of Folio. It's been in production the longest, and you have some really clear steps in terms of improving usability and efficiency of the stack that you want to push forward. Does that sound about right?
I hope so. I mean, I'm always aware, you know, there's still so much that we could do, and I you know, I really feel for the data import. It is an endless journey, it seems sometimes, and maybe it is, but yeah, I think that we, I think I would hope that we are, as you say, we're a mature group. There's a lot of existing functionality, people are using it. I think it's well received, and I think that we are just keep trying to push that forward and find, you know, the things that are going to improve it further.
Mm-hmm. So we do need to stop here. Folks, we do need to have a conversation about outcomes of the Tri-Council meeting and some of the documents that are kind of floating around and how we plug into those conversations. Jeremy and I will kick that conversation off in the Slack channel, and we can also cover it at the agenda planning meeting on Tuesday. We have two more PC meetings and two agenda planning meetings left before WolfCon. And so we'll need to think about how we're going to use those to the best benefit, so we're ready to engage when WolfCon comes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to PC members for the thoughtful conversation. This has been a really good meeting. And we will see some of you who choose to attend Tuesday at 9:30 Eastern. And everyone else will see next Thursday. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.